We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Good morning. You may be seated. I'm glad he said I wasn't a weird uncle. It's so good to be here. How many of you have never been in service with me before? How many can I see? Oh, a few of you. Where you been? You know, I'm going to do something I very rarely do. But during that song, what a powerful name it is, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, pray for those people that have unsaved children. Now, I'm not talking about just kids. They may be 40, but they're still your children. How many of you got unsaved family kids? Well, let's all stand, everyone. We're going to pray right now. I'm going to tell you something. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. He's more powerful than the grip that the enemy has on them. He's more powerful than the grip that the world has on them. And I'm going to tell you, I believe today we're going to see results. They've been out there running amok. I know I had two of them myself. But thank God they're serving God today. But I just felt impressed. Listen, what a powerful name it is. They can't beat God. When that hound of heaven goes after them, something's going to happen. He'll put a hook in their jaw, and he'll bring them into the kingdom for such a time as this. And I want you to believe with me. And those of you that don't have unsaved kids, you just pray for their other people there today. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, we just thank you for that wonderful truth, Lord, that you are a powerful, you are a mighty, you are a supernatural God. There's nothing too hard for you. And Father, I ask you to go after Johnny. I ask you to go after Julie. I ask you to go after Pauline and all these different children, Lord, that you grown-up children or young children. And Lord, I ask you to go after them in your love and in your power and bring them into the kingdom. I don't care how far they are. I don't care how deep they are. But I know that your love is deeper than anywhere they can be, and your power is powerful than any other grip on their lives. And Father, I pray today, we pray as a group in faith, bring them in, bring them home, bring them home in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Don't your neighbors say they're coming home? Now, I'll tell you this is good, nothing what I'm speaking on. The power of being here this morning. The prodigal son's father, right? This prodigal left, father's devastated. If he had shut shop, got disheartened, shut shop, and moved away, where would the prodigal come back to? Your kids know Metro. Are you with me? And that's the reason we're here today. We're here in spite of the problems. We're here in spite of the worries. We're here in spite of their actions. But we're here because we're going to keep the light on. We're going to keep the light on for them. And when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of them, they'll know where to come. They'll know where Father is. Can I get an amen? So that's the word of the Lord to some of you this morning. Keep the light on. Don't deviate. Don't leave. Don't desert your post. They're coming back to where they know. Amen? Amen. Well, it's good to be here. Praise the Lord. Turn to your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 4, and I'll just bounce my thoughts off this verse. But while you're turning there, would you like me to tell you a funny story? I never do this. Now, first of all, Pastor Chad and Julie and Don and Anita, thanks so much for having me come. I do feel like coming home to Metro. I do feel like an uncle, not the weird uncle, the good uncle. And I believe God has sent me to impart something today to you, to encourage you, to uplift you, to strengthen you, and give you hope. And so, you know, it's just a privilege for me to be here. And my wife would love to be here, but she's busy working nut. And that's an in-house joke there, the guys know. But anyway, good to be here. Maybe not what God, what you've been praying for, but I'm what God sent, and he knows what you need today. This lady went to work every day past a pet shop. And one day, the guy put a parrot out on a perch outside the shop. So she's walking past the the parrot, and the parrot shouts out, "Ugly, ugly, ugly." And the woman was kind of startled, you know. And this went on for about a week. So finally, she went into the guy in the shop. He said, "Listen, I'm sick of that bird. Every time I pass it, it calls me ugly, and I'm sick of it." He said, "Madam, that bird will not do it again." So the next day, she walks past the same distance, about 6 feet away from the parrot, and the parrot looks at her. You know how the birds look? Never said a word. The next day, she walks 3 feet closer. Never said a word. The third day, she goes right up in the parrot's face, looks in his face, and the parrot says, "You know." I knew you'd like that one. So the next time your wife asks you, "Gentlemen, does this dress make me look thin?" You know. It's okay to laugh in church, isn't it?
Yeah.
The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. And you can have truth with ice on it, or you can have truth with fun. So let's get down to the truth. When Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices in a day? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring those stones, can they bring those stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" And for a few minutes today, I want to talk on, can God use burned stones? Can God use burned stones? Burned stones is typical of people that have run well, but somehow they get burned and they've lost their way. Are you with me? We all know them. You're all familiar with them because a lot of them used to come here, and you can't see them anymore because they get burned and they're burned stones. And God wants to restore them. Jerusalem had been burned by the Chaldeans and left in ruins, once a place of glory and beauty. People came to see the city of David. But somehow it had been burned and now had become a place of shame, a place of ashes, a place of ridicule, a place of burned stones, stones that had fallen out of the wall of their destiny, protecting God's people. It seemed like they would never be used again, but things are never as they seem. Well, never write anybody off. Never write anybody off. Now, if you read the story, Zerubbabel had come and rebuilt the temple, but he never finished the job because the wall was still broken down. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's one thing to build a temple. It's one thing to build a house of God, but you've got to build a wall for protection. You've got to make sure it's protected from the enemy. Are you with me? You can have a great church, but if you don't protect your church from gossip and from naysayers and from the negative, do you feel me this morning? Now look, if you're going to get the best out of me, you got to give me some reaction here, like I feel you. See, I'm from the south. Well, I'm only from the north, but so I want to hear you say, "I feel you." Now put a little bit of soul into it. I feel you. Good, so don't be afraid to say "I feel you" or "Amen, brother," or "Get her done." So it left the walls. The walls are broken, and you cannot leave a job half done. If you're going to do the thing, do it right. Are you with me? So when you're on an assignment from the Holy Spirit, don't stop halfway. Get the job done. Get the job completed, or it'll cause problems, and it'll cause problems for years to come. Stones of purpose and destiny, part of something big. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 2, we are living stones, built up a habitation for the Lord. It's easy to get burned. It's easy when we get burned, rather, to fall out of the place where God has us and our destiny. Now, here's something. I'm going to shock somebody today. Offenses will come. I'm sure that's a shocker to you if you've been in church. If you've been in church any length of time, that's a shock. Offenses will come. And the truth is, and that's not even a gray area, it's black and white. The Bible says offenses will, not maybe or perhaps, will come. You get offended with somebody sooner or later. But it, and that's what happens. People get offended and they get burned and they fall out of their wall of destiny. Are you with me? And instead of just pushing on through, look, I've been married to Margaret for 42 years. Same woman, 42 years. 37 were great. Don't tell her I said that, please. But you know how many times Margaret's offended me? Hold on now, ladies, hold on. I'm going to go somewhere with this. You know how many times Margaret's offended me? Thousands of times. You know how many times I've offended Margaret? 10,000 times. Because men are dumb. We just open up our mouth and before we engage our brain sometimes. Like, for instance, you know, that this is one I got a few black eyes for. Does this dress make me look thin? And I wouldn't say, you know. I was worse than that. I said, well, it is what it is. No, that's just dumb and dumber. So the amount of times we've argued and carried on, the truth is we've never left the marriage. In fact, we love each other more today than ever before. And I can't understand people get offended in church and they leave the church. Because it's your safe haven. The Bible says in Psalm that you, they that are planted in the house shall prosper. And you know, just, so I cannot understand people that get offended by the church and the next thing, they're out the door because they go to the next church and once the honeymoon is over, they're going to get offended again. And they do that cycle all the time and they become burned stones. We had a young person, a young lady in our church in Virginia, in Norfolk, and she thought she had it in her mind she was going to be the worship leader. Well, it just so happened she wasn't chosen as a worship leader. They chose somebody else, and she got offended. And she left the church, her and her husband. Now, they've got another church. They haven't left God, but they've got another church. I thought, oh, the wonderful things we had for her. She didn't even know it. And yet she got offended because it didn't go her way. See, we get offended because it doesn't go our way. We're like spoiled little brats. You know, if it doesn't go my way, I'm going to pick up my bat and go home. Do you feel me? No, I didn't say amen. I said, do you feel me? But God grieves. Oh, here I am. I'm looking for the clock all the time. There it is. Thank God I couldn't see that one. No, I see that one. God grieves for us when we get burned because the Bible says he's touched in Hebrews 4. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He knows human nature. He's been here. He lived here. He suffered here. He got the insults here. He's got all the stuff. He had an opportunity to stop what he was doing, and we wouldn't be here today. But thank God he made it through. Thank God he never gave up. Thank God he never became a burnt stone, but he became a living sacrifice. Are you with me today? And that's why we're here. Can God use burnt stones? Truth is, every believer is called to restore burnt stones. Galatians 6 and 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves or you also may be tempted. In other words, when people get offended and leave, don't shut them off. Don't shun them. That's what the world does. Don't shun them. Just remember, just keep the light on for them. You know, I think I've told you this before. My uncle used to tell me this. They drew a circle and counted me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. Ah, but love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle and counted them in. The truth is, we're keeping the light on. And one of these days, some of these burnt stones are going to come back. Now, there are some burnt stones you don't want back. If you know what I mean. You know. But there are burnt stones that need to be back. Because this is where God planted them, and then they've uprooted themselves, and God wants them replanted again so they can grow and be a blessing to the body and be a blessing to the world. Are you with me today? So Nehemiah got the heart. He found favor with his king, Artaxerxes, and he was a cupbearer. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He's a guy that sipped the cup before the king got it because it was poisoned. He took the rap. And the Bible says every time he was in the king's presence, he had a smile on his face. Wouldn't you be? If you drank the wine and you're still standing on your feet. That was his job. So he had sipped the wine before and he's still standing. It's good to go. Artaxerxes, here you are. But one day he came in and his face was downcast because he had a burden. He had a burden. He was a trustworthy person. And he had a burden. And the king noticed it. He said, why are you cast down? And he had a burden because God had begun to speak to him to go back and build, restore the walls of Jerusalem. Sometimes it's not all laughing. Amen? Now we do, perhaps we can be funny, but there's a time to laugh and there's a time to be burdened. Be burdened for soul, be burdened for your family, I'm sure you are. But I mean, we've got to balance it all off. He got burdened and the king noticed it. Now Nehemiah had an unusual resume. Instead of leaving a path of destruction behind him, he is left to tackle a path of destruction ahead of him. He's backwards. He had a task on hand, but God found Nehemiah. He was a man who was faithful. And I shared him with the men last night. God puts a lot of stock on faithfulness. Can I hear an amen? Faithful when the doors are open. Faithful when we're having a man's versus night. Faithful when we're having a woman's night. Faithful when we're having a children's group. Faithful when the youth is on. Are you with me? Faithful when we're cleaning up the church. Faithful when we're doing the stuff behind the scenes that nobody sees. Thank God for the sound men, the media guys that nobody sees, but we all appreciate. Eh? He was loyal to his king. He was willing to take the cup and sip it first to help his king. He had integrity. He had an ear to hear, but also a touchable heart. People have an ear to hear, but they don't do anything with it. God wants us to have an ear to hear and also a heart that'll do something about it. Are you with me today? Yeah. You're going quiet. He could not shake off the call of God in his life, and he took the risk of asking the king a huge request. See, when it's God that gives you a burden, you know it's God because you can't get rid of it. How many know we go through fads? When I was a little boy, I wanted to be a fireman. Who would want to be a fireman? It's a dangerous job. I want to be a policeman. I want to be an astronaut. Well, I wouldn't want to be an astronaut. I'm claustrophobic. Why? But you see, we've got these things, but it's all fads. Because when you grow up, you put away childish things. And I just want to be a simple preacher. And I've done it for 40 years. And it's worked out well for me. I don't have to go in small places. And I don't have to climb up big ladders into burning buildings and leap walls, you know? But the truth is, we've got these fads. How do you know it's God? Because you cannot get away from it. Cannot get it off your system. When I was a little boy, though, I would preach to my brother, my younger brother. He's 2 years younger than me. He's not that young. Well, he is young, yes. And I would preach to him every day because before we went to school, you know, we went to school of fire. And I would preach to him, and he would get saved every day. Every day. I always used to say he's the most saved person in our family. He just needs a bit of sanctification, that brother of mine. But the truth is, God was good. That's what God really wanted me to do. I didn't know it then. God knew way back then, years later, I'd be sharing the gospel all over the world, sharing the good news, because God had found us loyal and faithful. Expect resistance when you are walking in your destiny. I was walking through a marketplace in Toronto years ago, and you know, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, people know it. Demons know it. You don't have to talk to people about, you know, I'm saved and full of the Holy Spirit. Just people know you're different. Yeah. This might shock you, but I've got unsaved friends. They're unsaved so far. Good friends, dear friends. I mean, I have breakfast with them usually every Monday morning, and they just know I'm different. When I come amongst them, they don't cuss. Oh, I know they cuss. But they don't do it when I'm there. And they just don't know, but God sent me there. There's one guy, he says he's an atheist. He's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. So I told him one day, well, just remember, you don't believe in God, but if there wasn't a God, there wouldn't be an atheist. And I've had him come to church. But the truth is, you know, we've got these friends. And I was walking through Toronto one time through a market. And I passed this lady, and I'll never forget what she said. Now, didn't know her from an ant in the wall. You and your Jesus. But you know, the demons cry out. That girl cried out to Paul. And what she said was true. They're the sons of Jesus. But God doesn't want the truth coming out of false lips. Think about that. Many people prophesy, but they prophesy out of false lips. They say the right words, but it's not the right spirit. So when you're in your destiny, you will get resistance. People talk about the church. I had a friend of mine who's on Facebook. She's, I've known this lady for years. She's in her 70s, and she's in England. And I won't tell you her name, but, well, it was Anne, actually. It was her name, so she's not here. So she's writing one day, and I mean, her and I write, because we were back in the church together. She's writing about, I don't like mega churches. Now, I belong to a mega church. I'm one of the pastors on the team of a mega church. So I thought, don't get me wrong. I think Facebook is a place where you should just talk about your family, talk about your friends, talk about going to the beach, talk about going to Legal Seafoods. I just came out there just now, Legal Seafoods. But the truth is, people put on Facebook personal things and their political views. I honestly don't think you should put your political views on Facebook. Keep them to yourself. So this lady writes, and I get it, I don't like mega churches, so I couldn't resist it. You know, it's one of those things you just had to give it. So I wrote back and I said, look, Anne, I says, I'll tell you, you obviously have never been in a, and I know she hasn't, you've never been in a mega church, because the church that goes to is like 100 people. I said, but let me tell you what a mega church can do. We can send out missionaries all over the world, which we do. I'll tell you what a mega church could do, Anne. We gave $1 million last year to missions. That's what a mega church could do. And she wrote back, I got it. I'm sorry. But you see, you'll get resistance. When you start getting big, people resent it. You know, I don't believe. No, because people like to have a little mom and pop store, so we know everybody. But the truth is, our church is so big now, we don't know everybody. And that's a good thing, because God is saving people to bring them in. Are you with me? But you'll get resistance. And Sanballat tried to, you'll get discouraged. He tried to discourage them. What are those feeble Jews doing? Look how he speaks down to them. What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they complete it in a day? The truth is, we're not there for a day. People say, you'll never do that in a month or two. But we're not here for a month or two. I remember years ago when Pastor Steve Kelly came to Virginia Beach, and maybe he's there 6 months, and we're playing golf in the Monday, as we normally do. And I said to him, now, only 7 people get saved last night. And he looked at me and he said, hey, Bobby, but we're not here for last night. We're here for the long haul. So when the enemy comes in and says, you're not seeing this today, you just tell him, but I'm not here for today. I can't see your daughter getting saved today, but we're not here for the day. I can't see your son getting saved today, but we're not here for the... Are you with me? Ridicule. Ridicule. The enemy will use words and confusion. Words can stop us fulfilling our destiny. Remember the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me? That's so untrue. Names will hurt you. Some people have been called no good all their lives. They're no good. Some people come up and say, I know who you used to be. And let's face it, we all have past. Some of us have past that we're ashamed of. Not me. I was brought up in church, but I had a little past, if you know what I'm saying. But I mean, some of you out there, you probably have horrible past. But God doesn't say, I know what you did. But that's what people do. They'll ridiculously, I know where you come from. I know this and that and the other. And the truth is, we've got to keep, we cannot listen to words of confusion. Are you with me? And Garden of Eden, and the serpent said to Eve, did God say? He never said he said. He just put the question of confusion. Did God say? What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they rebuild the wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring those stones back to life, burned as they are? The truth is, there are several things that burn us. Here's one: tension and conflict. Tension and conflict are a part of life. The truth is, we live by tension and conflict. If there's no tension, you wouldn't appreciate life. The tension you have with husband and wife, the tension you have with your job and your boss, the tension you have with workers, and it's, we live in tension, not real tension, but tension. So, as I've told you this story before about a little boy with a kite. He's holding the stick and the rope's up, and the kite's about 100 yards up in the air, and it's just blowing in the wind, and the little boy's thinking, and the kite's thinking to himself, man, if that little boy would just let me go, I could fly so much higher. But the truth is, if the boy let her go, let the kite go, it would fall to the ground, because it's the tension of the rope that keeps the kite afloat. And sometimes we want to get rid of tension when God says, no, I can't, because that's the very thing that's keeping you on your knees. That's the very thing that's keeping you close to me. Are you with me? It's the very thing that's keeping you afloat. Another thing that will be with painful experiences and relationships in life. Sometimes we get tough relationships. Sometimes we get tough situations with people in church. But we've got our lives. We've got to be big enough to forgive and not let the enemy get a foothold in offense. Otherwise, we become burned stones. Can I feel you? Broken promises. When God doesn't come through the way we thought or at the time we thought. Sometimes prayers take a longer journey than others, but they get there just the same. We pray for things, we never see them happen, think they're not going to happen. God said, no, I've got a timing for that. Those kids are coming back. I've got timing for it, but don't give up. Hang in. Keep going. Don't lose your dream. Nelson Mandela made this quote, a winner is a dreamer who never gave up. A winner is a dreamer who never gave up. God wants to take us and restore. Here's the answer to restoring burnt stones. I know time is gone. In chapter 2 and Nehemiah, it says, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and will no longer be in disgrace. Let us rebuild. It's not the pastor's job to rebuild the wall. It's our job to rebuild the wall together. Together we can do it. And the Bible says the people work with all their hearts. People work with all their hearts. Let us build. Listen, when God's working in us. I'm coming to the end of my message. And let me just say this. Don't waste your pain. The things you've gone through in life, don't waste it. Get purpose from it. Get purpose from it. I buried a son a year ago, and it was the second son of this couple. The two sons committed suicide within 5 years. Now, and that's the only kids they had, two boys. And they committed suicide, and the father and mother, they've been in the church for years, they're devastated. They don't know what to do. And I was in there, and I'm just praying for them. But you know something? That husband and wife have taken that disaster and use it to be a blessing to other people going through traumatic situations. To get a purpose in your pain. We all have pain, but get purpose in it rather than just complaining about it. Are you with me? Yes. When you get a test, turn your test into a testimony. Don't just go through it, but grow through it. You can talk yourself out of the destiny of God, or you can talk yourself into the destiny of God. God wants to restore people. James was a young man in a mental institution. And he was walking up the hall one day. He was a businessman, lost his business, had a mental breakdown. And he was walking up the aisles of a mental hospital. And an old couple had a chapel service. And they were singing, God will, an old hymn. It says, God will take care of you. And as that young man walked up that aisle, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, I'll take care of you. And that man, that young boy got healed. That young businessman got healed. He came out of that mental hospital and started a company you all know. His name was James Cash Penny. J.C. Penny was turned around, a burned stone, walking the hallways of a mental hospital. But the Holy Spirit got a hold of him and restored him and brought him back. Are you with me today? Let me tell you something. Your present situation is not your destination. Never let the size of your giant determine the size of your God. I don't care what you're facing. God is so, listen to this. The wall laid broken for 18 years until someone had a vision and a burden to repair it. It laid broken for 18 years, and it was fixed and repaired in 52 days. Because somebody, are you with me? Somebody. And you might be that somebody today. Those kids are out there somewhere, but somebody get a vision for your family. Somebody get a vision for your husband. Somebody get a vision for your wife. Are you with me today? I don't know why I'm sharing this today. I feel it's good. This is not part of my message. I think it's going. Somebody needs to hear this. God is so much interested in burnt stones that he talked to a man 1,500 miles away from Jerusalem and put a burden in his heart, got favor with his king. See, he took the risk of asking Artaxerxes why he was burdened. And I'll tell you something, you'll never leave first base, you'll never get to third base if you keep your foot on first base. You got to take a risk. Take a risk in saying something, hey, we love you, we're praying for you. But not one of those religious risks. You need to come back, you turn or burn. No, a loving risk, a loving, embraceable risk. Are you with me? And he sent a man all that way, talked to a man to bring him over in a group of people. And here's the amazing thing. Artaxerxes not only sent him, but sent him with materials, with the stuff to rebuild. Let me tell you something. There are burned stones walking about Marlborough like the walking dead. And you know them. And God's looking for a Nehemiah. God's looking for a Nehemiah. You know the burnt stones I'm talking about. You know the ones that should be here. We need to start zooming in on them and start believing God for them to come back. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Musicians, come up to the keyboard. I'm going to ask two things. Number one, how many here today are going to say, Robert, I want to be a restorer of burned stones? Let me see your hand. Every hand should be up. I want to be that person that will restore the burn, seek after and restore burned stones. Father, I just pray for those hands that are up today, Lord, for those beautiful people, that you will minister, you'll use them, you'll minister to them. Father, you'll send them along the right to the right people. Lord, you'll give them that burden, and you'll give them the words to say at the precise time. Not words of guilt. Not words of discouragement, but words of faith. Supernatural words to speak to the burned stones in order to get them back in your house, back in your wall. We thank you for them, Lord. We thank you for the faith in Jesus' name. And while every head is bowed, every eye closed, every put your hands down. You may be here today and you're going to say, Robert, I want to give my life to Jesus. Maybe you're a burnstone. Maybe you've never come to church. Maybe you're just visiting today. But you're going to say, Robert, I want to give my life to Jesus. You may be here today and think, well, I did make a decision one time, but I've kind of fallen by the way. But I want to get back. Something's tugged at your heartstrings. You're beginning to realize what a powerful name it is. You're beginning to realize Jesus is powerful.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.